I just want to introduce Justin to you. Justin has become a good friend, and he's just going to do the rest of the introductions. Man of great faith.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Whoop. Thanks, Ricky. Thanks, guys. It's awesome. Hi, everyone. We're going to have a good time. Might get a bit messy. You might have more questions than answers, but it's all going to be okay. So we're going to engage the mysteries of heaven. And if we do that right, you will have more questions than answers. But that means you're outgrowing your box, which is great. Because God can't fit into this tiny space. This space is a little bit too small. So, I'm really excited to be introducing Millie this morning. Millie is an awesome person. And I just wanted to just honor her because this is a nation that's not very good at honoring women, we've noticed. We've noticed there's a bit of a male dominance thing going on here. So we're cutting against that, and I'm not going first because we've got to go lower to make space for other voices and for the women to have a voice and a sound. Life flows through honor. If we honor someone, we'll receive the life that comes from them. Dishonor is a closed door where we get nothing. But, you know, Millie talks in a really gentle way, but she talks about some of the deepest mysteries of the kingdom that I've heard anyone talk about. I've just come from ministry in Seattle. I did a conference with Bobby Connor. I've ministered with Paul Keith. I've ministered with Ian. I've ministered with Larry Randolph. I've ministered with John Paul Jackson. But Millie's one of those that I hang on the words because it comes in a really gentle way. And you need to lean into that. Don't let slumber rob you. Don't let distraction rob you. Let the presence of God take you. I've noticed when Millie speaks, often people go into trances and stuff. And I actually, last time I heard her preach, I got taught by the Lord while she was speaking. So should we open up our hearts right now? Father, we want you to teach us today. And we open our hearts fully. And we honor Millie. Millie's one of the most profoundly mystical people I know, but with such gentleness and humility. Now, Paul said, I see no one in a merely human fashion. If you see Millie in a merely human fashion, you're going to miss the revealing of her sonship and who she is in the councils of God and the governmental realm that she operates that affects creation. And the powers of the age to come that operate through her, because it does come through gentleness, because the Father's gentle. The Father is meek and kind. And that is authority, because it's the government of peace that crushes Satan under our feet. Our efforts are not necessary. Our efforts can add nothing to what he has accomplished. And as we rest in him, he moves through us. He sits in us. So are you guys open? If you get tired, that's okay. You know, just relax. Just let's pace ourselves. Let's soak. Let's enjoy Jesus and have a really great time. But open up some hunger. Pull on what we're carrying, because we definitely have got two versions of what we carry. There's no doubt about it. We got the fry your brain, you'll never recover version, or the sweeties. So if you want sweeties, we'll just hand out a few sweeties. But if you, anyone like meat in South Africa? I had a theory that you like meat. I've got it because every night it's like, let's have a braai. Let's have a braai. Let's have a braai. Oh, we've never had one of those before. Let's have a braai. So let's give up for Millie. We love you.
Thank you, Justy. Father, we worship you, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise, for you are so worthy. We're so worthy, Lord. We just turn the gaze of our hearts to you, Lord. We turn the gaze of our hearts, our attention, our minds. Lord, even now as my words go out, Father, as the sound waves are released, we just release that whole boundary place of your heart, Father. We just invite the habitation of your heart in and through this place. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you're catching us away now, Lord, in the updrafts of your grace. I thank you, Lord, that you gaze at us in your ever-living kindness, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We honor you, King Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saturating us in your grace, absorbing us into the radiance of your face. Lord, we just rest. We rest in you. We rest in who you are. We rest in the peace that flows from your face, Lord. Lord, we offer up all that we are. We give you all that we are. We give you all that we are, Lord. We rest our minds in you. We rest our consciousness, our awareness. We rest our eyes, our vision. We rest our ears and our hearing, Lord. We bring it all into your light, Lord. We bring it all into that radiance of your heart. We give you all of our physical beings, Lord. We give you our hearts and our lungs. We give you every area of our lives, Lord, that doesn't align with your good and perfect will. We give you every limb, every ligament, every tendon, every bone, every blood vessel. We offer it up to you, Lord, on the altar of your sacrifice, Lord. For you gave all freely for us. Lord, we rest in you, we rest in your goodness, and we allow your goodness to saturate every single part of us, body, soul, and spirit. We thank you for uniting us, Lord, uniting us in your blood by your spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your extravagant grace, Lord, your extravagant grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and truth that go before your face. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, King Jesus. Wow. For the heavens is your throne and the earth is your footstool. Come and have your resting place on us, Lord. Enlarge our hearts, Lord. Oh, it feels so small sitting here. Just enlarge us into the enlarging capacity of your spirit. Thank you for the limitlessness of your thoughts and your good thoughts towards us. Align us with your good thoughts, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we set our minds on those things that are unseen. We set our minds on the things above. Align us with how you see us, Lord. We don't see according to the flesh. We don't see according to male or female or culture or race or religion or gender, Lord. We align ourselves with how you see us, Father. We align ourselves in your perception from heaven, Lord, for you seated us with you. You scooped us up out of the ash heap, Lord. You seated us among kings like princes, Lord. We honor you, magnify your name. Thank you for hiding us in your name. Thank you for hiding us in your name. You're so precious, Lord. You're so precious, Lord, O timeless one. Thank you, Father, that you've called us into an eternal inheritance. You've called us into your place of infinity, Lord, to abide and to rest in you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for awakening love, Lord. Awaken love in our hearts today, Lord. Awaken love, Lord, in areas that have never known love. Thank you for shining the light of your truth in and through us even now, Lord. Thank you for your government of peace. We honor that, Lord. We honor that government and boundaries of your peace, Lord, that's just abiding and resting on our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. May faith begin to fill people right now, Lord. Faith to see you face to face. Faith to see you face to face. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. Not according to the carnal man, Lord, but according to the incorruptible, eternal man. Precious last Adam. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're found in you. You are our hiding place. You are our refuge. You are our stronghold, Lord. You are our ever-present reward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just breathe in that nice atmosphere of his spirit. Sometimes we can get a bit uptight and forget to breathe. Breathe in the essence of life. You know, he inhabits the very air that we breathe. He hid the entire cosmos in his breath. always worry about the Lord being far away or not hearing from him or not knowing him. He's right here. Yeah. I was going to start off with a bit of a, you know, a little chat about who I am. Then I could have said, you know, I'm Millie and I'm from England and, you know, I serve the Lord through a ministry called Cabin Academy and could have told you all that, but then I realized that I'd be introducing myself to you according to the flesh. And we don't know each other according to the flesh, do we? We're supposed to know each other according to the Spirit. So my name's Millie and I'm a son. I'm a representative of the face of my Father. It's not really me standing here. This is just a three-dimensional image that you formed according to your thoughts about me. The reality of me is the thoughts of my Father. I'm not limited by here. I'm not limited at all because I'm seated with him. Jesus. You know, so often it's been like we've taken a big wad of Monopoly money and we're going around all the supermarkets and all our favorite shops and we're presenting this Monopoly money, pretending it's real money. And the people in the shops aren't giving us what we want. And we're walking away and we're saying, God, would you make this Monopoly money proper currency? Would you make these people accept the Monopoly money? When in fact it's counterfeit. It's not real, is it? It's not real money. So that's why people aren't buying into it. And so often we're trying to call on God. We're trying to call on God to come and fit into our little reality, our little world. We're trying to draw on the external realm of his power to fit into our little comfort zones and our little lives. And actually we need to lean into the true reality of who he is and start displaying and revealing it here instead of trying to squish it down into our belief systems. The world's crying out for authenticity. The authenticity of knowing God, of journeying with him and of revealing the supernatural. That's why the world is looking in so many different places. And yet if they would just open their eyes, they would see that the Lord has surrounded them in his heart. He gave all. He held nothing back. As his body, what do we hold back from him? I didn't want to start off by getting all heavy and deep. I didn't sleep last night, but I'm feeling so energized. I feel like I could run up the wall. He's so good. You see his grace. His grace is empowering. And it can just take you in places beyond yourself. Like, usually if you've not slept at all, then you'd be feeling pretty tired, but I'm feeling so energized and amped up because his love is just this frequency that lifts you to the realms of impossibility. This is the realms that we're to live from. We're supposed to live out of the reality of his love. Heaven isn't just a place to go to. It's a reality that you carry with you. It's a reality that you reveal and display. Much of what we want to do is to separate. You know, we want to put things in boxes. We want to separate things and file them so that we can understand them better and we can fit them into our earthly mindsets. But isn't the Lord about bringing things together into oneness? Even being the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're still an expression of the one true God. With our body, soul, and spirit, we try to separate things so that we're living according to the flesh. Most of the time, we don't even think about what's going on in the spirit. Sometimes we're so held captive by our souls and our emotions that that's the only reality that we know. You know, occasionally we might get a little sniff of his presence and go, oh yeah, there is a Holy Spirit out there somewhere. The Lord wants to bring us together so that we're living in that oneness. We're living in complete symphony with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, body, soul, and spirit. We're united in him. We might be a body made up of many parts, but we're one body, even though we have different expressions. And what is it that unites us as a body, as this living expression of the Father on the earth? Well, we're united by his blood. His blood is the essence of life. His blood was the most precious, precious thing that could ever be traded in the heavenlies. We're living testimonies of that. We're living testimonies of the price that was paid. That's what unites us together. It's the power of his precious blood. And in that blood is full provision. It's full provision for anything that we could ever need on the earth or in the heaven. There's full provision being made in that. Because his blood carries a frequency. His blood carries a frequency of light. And we're children of light. We can walk in the light as he is in the light. So through being immersed and baptized in his blood, we begin to reveal and display and manifest his light. We become that city set on a hill. We begin to shine. We rise and shine and let our light shine before all men. It's so important to be living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, because that's what we're mandated to do as sons. What is his blood? His blood is the absolute testimony of his love. Oh, Lord, your love is so great. Your love is so great. You know, there's no power apart from the Father. There's no power greater than the power of his love. If we acknowledge other powers, we're actually diminishing the authority and level of how the Lord operates, because we're idolizing another power apart from him. There is only one power, and that's the Father. He is omnipresent love. And he habitates in and through our souls. Lord, would you habitate even greater, even now, Lord, expand the boundaries of our heart, our thinking, our understanding. Oh, wow. Breathe in us, Lord, sweet Holy Spirit. Expand our hearts, Lord, like a great big multidimensional balloon. Expand our hearts, Lord, with the realms of your love. Yay. We're born from above. We're not from here, no. Thank you, Lord, that we're not from here. It's so wonderful what Jesus did. He united us. He brought us back into the place of Eden. As last Adam, he's brought us back into the place of being reconciled to God. He's restored us. He's allowing us to reform creation, to bring it back into its true reality. Because it's not like God made a mistake and stuffed up. He's giving us opportunity to reveal and display his glory, to bring all things back into that full revealing of his face on the earth. Eden is about walking and living in complete union, being at rest. That includes in our relationships, in our lives, in our places of work. Eden can be revealed and displayed through all that we do. In the secret place, on the streets. But all of this is done through being in that place of being in him. You know, for 2 years of engaging the Lord, when I first started, you know, meeting with him and learning about the realms of heaven, for 2 years, the main message that he was teaching me was two words. It would come down to these two words: in me. He would blast me in these different realms. I'd be taken into his throne room. I was taken into his side. I was baptized in love. I was baptized in his light, in fire. And each time it would come down to those two words: in me. We can never depart from that place. We can't depart from that place. We have our own little house in his side. We're hidden in him. We've been sealed in the eternal realm. We've been sealed there with the signet ring of the Father. And that mandates us and gives us authority in the temporal realm. Because it's a higher authority, the eternal realm. The cross is so powerful. I used to joke with my friend Emma Joy, because she would get absolutely intoxicated with the revelation of the cross. And I used to joke with her and say, "Emma, have you fallen through that cross-shaped trapdoor again?" Because she just used to start meditating on the wonder of the cross, and she'd just trance out for hours. We should all get lost down that cross-shaped trapdoor, shouldn't we? It's the very invitation into resurrection life. Resurrection life carries the decree, just as it did in the beginning when the Lord framed up the heavens and the earth, of light become. So as we fall through that cross-shaped trapdoor, as we're immersed in his blood, when we're revealed, we're becoming light. We're becoming and carrying that frequency of his light. So we're carrying that resurrection glory. Light become. Light become in the government. Light become in my place of work. Light become in the garden. Light become in my kitchen. I like to play a lot when I'm at home, just to play with the things of the kingdom realms. So it's great to experiment and just have fun with the Lord. So part of this playing is just, okay, Lord, what does it look like to brood over the garden and just to start speaking light, to actually allow my light to rise and shine in this natural realm? And as a result of that, all the plants around the cabin where I live, they all grow inwards. They don't grow outwards from the veranda towards the sunlight. They grow inwards towards my kitchen window or towards my bedroom window. It's not just a few leaves. It's like they're aggressively, they're trying to get in. They're trying to get in on the, they're trying to get in on the glory. I get this real compassion for creation, and I'll probably share a bit on that over the next few days. But it's really powerful how when we start to walk in our who we are, as we start to wake up to the reality of who we are, not just as this little human being, but when we start to wake up to our inheritance as being, you know, children of light, it really does have an effect on the world around us. It's quite powerful. It's quite scary at times. Do we love ourselves enough to become nothing? Because when you become the least, you actually become the greatest. So part of walking in like kingship and as walking as children of light is actually being willing to lay our lives down. St. Augustine once had a vision, and he saw all across the earth these snares, and these snares had been set, like these traps set by the enemy. And St. Augustine was really upset about it, and he began to pray. And he said, Lord, Lord, what can ever pass through all of these snares? And the Lord replied, humility. There's such a weight of his glory that rests on humility, of us being willing to become nothing, to go low. Because the Lord can't resist it. It's a real weak spot for him. He's like, oh, humility. You see, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When we're willing to set aside our own agendas, even our own expectations and our own belief systems, when we're willing to become nothing and to lay all of that stuff aside, actually invites such a great weight of his glory. You can become the comfy seat that the Lord comes and sits in. Because humility takes all gaze and all attention off your own, off yourself, and just turns it all towards the Father. When we lay down our lives for the sake of his desires, it actually then creates like a space through which the greatness of his power can then pass through. We then give him free passage into the earth. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? And it's so powerful because all that takes is our free will. It's as easy as just making a decision. Because he made us so powerful. He gave us the opportunity to say yay or nay. So when we choose to step aside, when we choose to open our hearts, when we choose to allow his desires to flow through our lives, you know, you can choose how big a space you want to give him in order to flow through your life. It's not up to me. It's not up to Justin. It's not up to Kevin. It's up to you. You're powerful. It's your show. So it's through our level and depth of surrender that we can become trusted emissaries of heaven. we can then begin to display Eden. We can begin to, you know, display that relationally and, you know, geographically through the nations that we visit, the nations that we hold in our heart, to the extent that we're willing to set aside our own agendas and our own will. If we can give that to the Lord, if we can surrender our very will to Him, that's the most precious thing we can do, because that's the most valuable thing He gave us. So if you can actually, that's what we do when we get born again. We give Him our will. But then often we take it back, don't we? We pass through the honeymoon period of knowing Him, and then suddenly we're doing all our own thing again. But actually, truly to be born again, to be born again means we must die. So we must die to the old self. We die to what is carnal. We die to what is temporal. We die to the old man that's passing away anyway. We die to all that stuff that we might live. That we might live in the power, the glory. We might live in the glory of the age to come. I wish I'd understood this when I was first born again. Just the power of what it is to die, to fully die in Him and to be raised in Him. Oh, Jesus. Mystery of your goodness. Oh, wow. Oh, I'll just quote, this is St. Catherine of Siena. Just a remarkable lady. I'm just going to quote something that the Lord said to her. Do you wish to reach perfect purity and be so freed from scandal that your spirit will not take scandal in anything at all? Then see that you remain united with me in loving affection. For I am supreme eternal purity. I am the fire that purifies the soul. So the nearer the soul comes to me, the more pure she will become. And the more she departs from me, the more unclean she is. This is why worldly folk fall into such wickedness, because they have left me. But the soul who unites herself directly with me shares in my own purity. There's such a reverence as we get to know Him, because as we get to know Him and we begin to offer all that we are in that fire of sacrifice, actually brings such a purification where we're smelted and smoldered into Him. Just like being in the welder's iron. He begins to form and fashion us into something so beautiful, something that reflects His image. You know, the fusion of Eden occurs when our hearts and our desires have bowed down and stepped aside. So we can be living and revealing that fusion of Eden just in and through our hearts. So when this starts to flow freely in like yieldedness, in humility, in obedience, we begin to see this unity of our nature, which is sonship. We have like this uniting of fellowship with the three, with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we have unity of possession, which is all that we have is His. Just like in a marriage, you know, no, what's mine is mine. What's mine is yours. What's yours is mine. The Essenes were this sect of people that lived out in the desert. And thousands of them just disappeared. They were caught into the reality of heaven. And they were actually based as well where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in Qumran. And I was there just last month, I think it was. Anyway, the Essenes, part of their culture was that if you were going to go and join them, you would bring everything that you had and you'd bring it and you'd trade it into the group. So you might think, oh, that kind of sucks a bit. You know, you're giving everything that you've got. So if I was a builder and I just had a spanner and a hammer, you'd bring your spanner and your hammer and you'd trade that in. But then as a result of trading that in, you then have full access to everything that everybody else has also brought. So you'd have your own toolbox. You'd have your own, you know, your own cookery set if you needed it. You'd suddenly have access to all things. Even though you've given all that you've got, you have access to way, way more. And it's like this in the kingdom of heaven. That's the culture of heaven, is to bring all that you have, all that you are, but then also you're receiving and you're inheriting way more than that. It just depends how you look at it.
Yeah. We had visitors. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. You know, he reveals himself through us according to our desire to know him. He redeemed our spirits that we could commune and unite with our spirit through his. So we put to death all of our carnal securities and all of our anchors so that we can join with him. This is part of giving all that we are into him. We give all that anchors us to this realm, to what we can touch, taste, see, and smell. We trade all of that in that we might live according to his reality. I think, you know, 70% of the known universe is dark energy. 25% is dark matter. Do you know what that is? Anybody know what dark matter is? Or dark energy? No. No. No, neither do I. So that means that 5% is like you and me, the room, South Africa. 5% is what we can see around us. So we don't know a lot, do we? All we know is 5%. This is why we need to fix our eyes on him. Because we really are living in this much. This is why we need to live and manifest light. This is why we've been given the mandate to walk as the Lord did, to do what he did, to decree light become. Because dark energy and dark matter are just places, they're invitations for us to reveal light, to be just like our dad, to create, to heal, to restore, to rule, to multiply. Because there's no separation. There's no separation from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's no separation between our body, soul, and spirit. There's no separation between Ricky and Dan and Jed and Michelle. It's all, there's no separation. We're all one. We're one united in him. That's why when one part of the body hurts, we all feel it. He's been amping this up so much recently with this deep heart knowledge in the spirit. Of knowing what's happening with people in other nations and other members of the body, other people in your family. Because the Lord's trying to teach us deeper ways of journeying with him. There's something even more powerful than, you know, when we're praying, we can be praying and interceding about something. But when you're holding somebody in your heart, you're instantly aware of what's going on with them. So with that same ease and grace of holding them in your heart and of knowing what isn't happening great with them or what is happening great with them, just in shifting your heart and covering them, you're actually bringing them into a place before the Father. That could be more powerful than praying and interceding for hours on end. It's just what is in your heart. That's what's so key. Because if you're carrying a load of offense and bitterness and hatred, you're actually bringing poison into other people's lives. So that's why it's so important to live in the fire and to have our hearts completely consumed in his fires so that we can be trusted with all the people that we're holding in our hearts. You know, when Jesus said, if you even look at a woman in lust, then you've already committed the act of adultery. This is what he was getting at, because there's such a deep level of heart knowledge that is going on, you know, within us all. That's why we need to be rooted and established and revealed in his love. We need to become love. I'm going on a bit of a wonder here and just sharing bits as he's showing me. I was out for a walk with the Lord. I live like right out in the sticks, out in the countryside. And I just stopped and was hanging out with the Lord, looking out across the fields, leaning on a gate. And the Lord stood behind me and he just gave me a hug. And I began to weep and weep just out of his love for me. It was such a sweet, I was just hanging out with him, but just to meet with him in that place of love and just enjoy the view. Oh, my heart just began to break just at the extent and the depths of his absolute love. And I realized that, you know, we truly honor him. We honor him by being able to receive his love. Because sometimes we can be so proud that we actually reject it. You know, the Lord's trying to pursue us and he's really trying to invade our lives with his love to set us free from fear and all the other gnarly stuff that holds us back and traps us in this carnal reality. But actually he's pursuing us with his love. We're told over and over not to harden our hearts. Because that, again, that's a choice. Because we're powerful. We can choose to reject and we can choose to harden our hearts. He's pursuing us fervently. So if we want to honor him, we want to honor his presence, we need to ask him to show us how to truly receive his love. That means being willing to ask him into those secret places of your heart that you've previously, you know, had out of bounds, no entry signs on. So Rostov stood by this gate and I was learning about how, you know, we honor him by receiving his love. And I was like weeping and weeping. And I realized that, you know, it doesn't matter how shamed we are. It doesn't matter how anxious we are. It doesn't matter whatever has happened in the past. Nothing can separate us from the magnitude of his love. You know, the way that we make his love then known, having received this great abundance of his love, the way that we make that known is through having a heart that is rent, a heart that is circumcised, a heart that is wounded. That then allows his love to pour through. The Lord said to me so gently, out of the brokenness of your love for me, give them a drink. He was talking to me about sharing his love in the meetings, on my travels, the people that I meet. Because we need to meet with the depths of his love. We need to be courageous enough to access those areas of brokenness in order to reveal his love fully. Because he went to such depths on the cross. He went to such depths of brokenness and woundedness. His very heart was ruptured. That he could birth the church. There's no limits to his love. There's just limitless dimensions of his love that was displayed through the cross. So I mean, all of this is calling us back in. He's calling us back in. The whole thing about Eden is being called back to the fullness of union, called back to that sweet place of journeying with him, in him, through him. Just as Adam did. Adam lived in the breath of God. There was no separation. In fact, Adam originally was male and female. The Lord had to take Eve out of him. Eve means living. Life-giving. So when we're fully functioning in last Adam, then we're bringing life. We're bringing life and we're in that place of union. We're united, displaying his life, his glory. There's such celebration of the return. The whole of the celestial arena is anticipating and expectant of our return. That's why creation's groaning. It's time to wake up. Wake up. We're living in 5%. That's all it takes is our choice, our will. And how long does that take? How long does it take to make a decision? It's even faster than the speed of thought. takes a millisecond. You know, sometimes you can make a choice without even thinking it through. We do that when we sin, don't we? You can just do something and you don't even think about it. Just that little swear word sneaks out of your mouth. You don't have to think that through first, do you? That's just a choice. That's because that's something that's flowed through your will. So likewise, if our will is surrendered to His will and desires, we can choose to return back to the place of union, back to the place of no separation, back to the free-flowing life flow of His Spirit. Spirit of life, Spirit of truth. So it's not so much a striving to get to this place, it's just a turning into that reality, awakening to that reality. My heart and my cry had been to the Lord just to be a passageway of His light. I wanted to be like a window through which His light and His glory would be displayed. Completely transparent so that the world wouldn't see me, but they would see His face, His glory, His light, His purposes revealed and displayed. It was a really strong and fervent desire. And I would just incorporate that into my everyday life. Always, I'll be praying it on the way to work. I'll be praying it during the day just to live in that complete place of being absorbed in Him, to be dissolved in the substance of His Spirit. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith. Oh, and the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So I'm going to live in that reality of having my life in His. And as I began to live in that reality, weird stuff started to happen in everyday life. I call it weird. It should be getting normal. Because it's weird according to our mindsets. It's weird according to the natural physical realm that we're so used to living and operating in. But as I was learning to live and walk and move with Him and allow Him to have His being in me, when I would be caught up in places of engaging His presence, sometimes my physical body would begin to disappear and I'd begin to go a bit translucent. And this initially happened when I was washing the dishes and my mum was talking to me and she just began to scream, "Where's half of you gone? Really, really, where's half of you gone?" And I wasn't here. I was like, you know, tiny portion of my mind was washing the dishes, but I wasn't really conscious of that. The rest of me was just enjoying my Father. I was with Him where He is. And it was only when I heard her screaming that I could recognize that she was in distress that I said, what's happening for you right now, Mum?" And half of me had gone completely disappeared and the other half was just translucent, so she could see through me. Now, I didn't really know what was happening. I didn't expect that to happen. And I knew that Jesus had walked through walls and he could dissipate and he could just show up in different places and he could walk through a crowd. But I wasn't expecting that to happen as I was washing the dishes. But that week, the Lord had been speaking to me and He was saying, "I want to teach you how to supersede the natural laws. I want to teach you how to live according to the laws of my Spirit." So He was getting me to study some of Isaac Newton and Einstein's laws, because they're great invitations to supersede these, to live according to the Lord's ways. We want to walk in His ways, don't we? A few weeks ago, I was on Skype with some friends of mine in Australia, and as I was talking to them, I was getting a bit excited, sharing about the destiny scroll of a friend of mine. And as I was talking to them, I began to disappear. But, because it's not like just now you see me, now you don't. It's just my physical being begins to align with the true reality of who I am in the Spirit. And who we are in the Spirit, it just means that we're operating at a much higher frequency and within light, because everything's very much slowed down in visible light. But when we begin to live according to how he is, we're revealed in a higher frequency of light, so we're not always visible. We're not always limited to, you know, space and distance and other cool sciencey things. All these things are an invitation in to know him more. It's never about the stuff. It's never about trying to, you know, having invisibility lessons or anything. You know, there's no formula. I've had people ask me to pray for them for the invisible anointing. Can you believe that? It actually grieved my heart so much because I just said, you're missing the point completely. How far can we be from him? How far can we be from him? How many conferences can we go to, yet still be so far from him? The motives and choices and intents of our heart are just so important. So often we can be honoring him with our words, but our hearts are far from him. We might have said the sinner's prayer. We might have said the words. We might have said the covenant in marriage, but we haven't consummated it. We haven't consummated it with the choice of our hearts. We haven't come into the place of union with him. That is an invitation over the next few days, is to come into this reality of being in union with him, being willing to offer all of your hearts, all of who you are, not just so you can go invisible or see some cool miracles or anything, but so that you can live and move and have your being in him, and he can live and move and have his being in you, where there's no separation, where you're living completely liberated. You're living in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit as sons, because we are the sons of glory. It's a glorious inheritance. It's not earthbound. It's not just an earthly inheritance. It's cosmic. Oh, Lord, thank you that your joy is our strength. Wow. Lord, we welcome the transforming waves of your power just to come in here right now, Lord, because we just welcome you and who you are. But most importantly, Lord, we want to be with you where you are. We thank you, Lord, that there's no more separation between heaven and earth, Lord, that we can reveal the fusion of Eden in and through our hearts, in and through the gates of our spirit and our soul. Be revealed, Lord, be revealed freely in and through us, Lord. Even in the limitations of this physical realm, Lord, we ask that you would be revealed. We ask that your light would become in and through every area of our thinking, every area, Father. We thank you for that sweet illumination, Lord, the enlightenment of our hearts, Lord. Father, that you just take us to greater levels of understanding, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Wow, he's just sowing new seeds of hope in people's hearts, new seeds of hope. Hope, 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 hope. Hope is being restored. The spiritual stuff isn't just for those wacky people out there. He is spirit. God is spirit. You have his spirit in you. It's for you too. Seeds of hope and faith to believe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Father, take us beyond the physical senses, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for showing us our spiritual senses. Thank you that you're a tangible God. Wow. Thank you, Lord, that your love would just rest on us like that sweet mist of Eden. Wow. Inhabit us, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the angelic hosts that are ministering to people right now. Thank you, Father, the taking off veils of how we've seen things before. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the people that are having burdens lifted, burdens of condemnation and shame. Thank you, Lord. Wow. those misplaced expectations, Lord, where we thought we've had to perform to impress you. Thank you, Lord, that we can rest in you. Thank you, Lord, that you move on our behalf in power and in might, that you go before us and you drive out the enemy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for centering us in your love. Now may your winds just bring a fresh breath of clarity to every mind in here, God, as we set our minds on things above, Lord. Bring that wave of clarity, clarity through which we see your face so clearly that we begin to reflect the sweetness of your glory. People would see the face of Jesus. Yeah, immerse us in your love, Lord. Immerse us in your love and the essence of life, God. Wow. Thank you, Lord, that you're gathering us into you. Thank you that you loved us first, God. You loved us first and you chose us. Wow. You chose us, you chose us, you chose us, you chose us for your enjoyment and your pleasure. Wow. Overwhelm us with the weight of your goodness. A little while ago, I was really struggling to function under the weight of his goodness. I was getting caught up into his realms and I was really trying to function and do things. I was actually supposed to be driving somewhere to go and minister the next day. And yeah, the reality of his kingdom was just coming so intensely in his lightnings, in his grace, in immense joy and raptures. I was being completely hijacked by heaven and I could no longer resist it. And I just said to the Lord, like, what's happening? You know, I'd even tried to start the car and I'd actually fried the car battery with the amount of voltage of heaven. This is happening a lot with electrical appliances, by the way. Coffee machines, microwaves, mobile phones, chargers, hair dryers, Wi-Fi routers, modems. Yeah, lots of electrical things just not getting on with, you know, this stuff, the voltage of heaven. And so this happened with the car battery. So I wasn't even able to go, you know, to be able to take this car to where I needed to go. So I went to use the house phone to call my friend, and as I picked up the house phone, it fried. I was like, Lord, I'm running out of options here. But the sweetness of his love and that invitation was just calling me into ever deeper realms of him. Felt like I was on a roller coaster. You know, you keep getting that feeling like your stomach's going. He was just lifting me into his embrace. He was just rolling me around in the epic abundance of his love. I could do nothing after that. I said, Lord, okay. So I just sat in a seat. I mean, my legs, I was starting to lose feeling in my legs as well. I said, Lord, what is going on? Are you trying to give, you know, trying to teach me something for this church that I was going to share at? Are you trying to teach me something? Are you trying to get me to go and pray for a certain nation? Or are you going to take me somewhere in the spirit? And I wasn't hearing anything. And I expected to get some epic download or revelation on something or other. I got my Bible and I opened it. And I was like, okay, Lord, what's going on? Still nothing. I said, Lord. And he just said so gently, sometimes I just like to hold my bride. See, I was fully in the grip of heaven. I couldn't move. And sometimes we need to go back to that place of just being held by him and held in him. Because I was trying to run to and fro, trying to get all my stuff sorted and everything so that I could, you know, impress him and do all this stuff. But all I needed to do was honor him and receive his love. So I want to give you guys permission just to be able to receive his love over the next few days, because his love carries a transforming power. His love carries the highest frequency known to man. It's the most powerful thing ever. It's who he is. Love is such a powerful, powerful word, and yet we limit it to one syllable. It does my head in. It really does. It's just so the substance of the Lord. You might start to feel it even now. Or as we stop for the break, you'll start to feel that overshadowing, pervading love of His presence. And it's okay. Sometimes I feel that, and just it's an invitation just to sit with Him a while. Your arms and legs might start to feel a bit heavy, or you might start losing sensation in them altogether. Well, that's good, because you're taking your attention off your physical body and you're actually just more engaged in the Spirit. Your awareness is more in the essence of His breath and being caught up in Him. Even if you don't see a vision, if you don't see a sparkle or a flash or a heavenly fragrance, if you can just rest in Him and find that stillness, everything else flows from that place. Rest transposes the eternal into the temporal. If we're not in a place of rest, we won't see a stitch, we won't hear from Him. Rest is so important. And do you know why we can be at rest? Because we're safe. You can't find a place of safety if you're in danger. You can't find that place of rest if you're in danger. But He is our safe house. In Him is complete security, promise, provision. So we can find our place of rest in Him. Yeah. Now I'm going to leave you in it. I think I'm done now. Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for opening your heart to Him. That was really precious. I could feel some of you like that, you know, maybe there's doors in your heart that you'd never opened to Him before, but I could really feel stuff was unlocking, and it was actually allowing more of Him to flow in and through. And that's very powerful. You know, we just think of our hearts as being this little fleshy thing inside of us, but actually it's the gateway to the eternal. He's placed eternity in your heart. So if you can offer that up to Him, even if there's just a tiny portion of it that you're aware of, that is so powerful, because you're allowing the realm of eternity to flow in and change the whole atmosphere. So yay. Bless you guys.